Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, a comment would be great. And if you're listening to the podcast, a review would be useful. Today, my guest is Binesh Kumar. He is a technical project lead. What does that mean? Well, and how has public speaking benefited him? And why did he become an engineer in the first place? Bunch of questions, so let's just jump right into it. Welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews, Binesh.
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Neil. Thanks for the opportunity.
From the bit of research I did on you, Binesh, I saw that you studied mechatronics engineering. So what is mechatronics engineering, and why did you decide to study it?
Yeah, it's a good question. That also leads to a segue of, like, what made me choose engineering, right? So it's an interesting, you know, story. So growing up, I was fond of a cartoon called Dexter's Laboratory. I don't know if you've heard of that. This guy sits in his basement and makes machines, and his sister comes and spoils his project. So I was very fond of that cartoon, and I started tinkering around at home with a lot of, you know, machines, tightening screws and things like that. So I've always been interested in building machines, working on hardware, and just like the idea of engineering stuff, right? Designing and engineering. So when I went to the high school, I was also interested in physics, so that made me really like the engineering side of things. So I decided to pursue engineering, but I didn't know which part of engineering to choose from. Like, when I went into something called counseling to understand which stream of engineering you should take, the variety, you know, just baffled me, right? It was hard for me to choose. I didn't know what exactly. I didn't have engineers in my family to guide me either. I didn't have mentors. So I started digging into what each of these engineering streams really entailed. And that's when I bumped into mechatronics engineering. The reason I liked that stream was it was very cross-functional. You get to learn, you know, mechanical, electronics, and electrical. So I have a multidisciplinary background that includes the mechatronics engineering, and I did a master's in electrical with a focus in computer engineering. But mechatronics paved the way for me to understand, you know, what I liked within engineering, what sort of engineering, which stream did my passions lie in. So that's how I pretty much took up mechatronics. I just liked the idea of like a multidisciplinary program. And typically mechatronics is a basis for robotics and embedded systems. You get to learn, you know, how, you know, mechanics works and electronics and how do they combine to each other. So it's a very, you know, multidisciplinary program. So I've done a lot of, you know, mechanical engineering during that program. I've done programming, computer engineering. So just doing variety of projects helped me understand what my skill set and my passions were. So that sort of laid the foundation. So that's basically mechatronics in a, you know, nutshell.
Wonderful. I mean, you mentioned that you also did a master's in electrical engineering. So what was the reasoning for continuing on with your education and getting a master's?
Yeah, like I mentioned, it was during my mechatronics engineering that I discovered my interests within the different engineering fields. So I even wrote a LinkedIn article if anyone's interested to go take a read. I think during the junior year, I did like a robotics project, like a line following robot that I went and won the zonal rounds, and I, you know, was invited to participate in the national rounds at Indian Institute of Technology in Delhi. And that project, you know, sort of was a pivotal moment. I started really like programming. Microcontrollers, controlling hardware through software and firmware. So that's when, you know, I decided, okay, this is probably what I'd like to pursue my, future career and the next level of education. So I started taking evening classes in embedded systems and microcontrollers. I've done a lot of training in my junior and senior years. And then I decided to pursue a master's in that field. That's how I ended up with a master's in electrical engineering, but the focus was in embedded systems and computers, right? So yeah, that's pretty much what prompted me to go for higher studies because of my passion for embedded systems, basically.
All right. So now you got a bachelor's, you have a master's. Now it's time to take on the working world. What kind of work did you do when you graduated from school?
Yeah, when I graduated from University of North Carolina at Charlotte, I was looking to get plugged into an early stage startup, early stage venture, mainly because I wanted to utilize my multidisciplinary skill set. And when I interviewed with bigger companies, it was hard to find positions that I was looking for. It was very narrow and deeply focused. So I decided to interview with a bunch of startups. And that's when I bumped into my founder. I really liked his vision, what he had for the company. So I was a very early employee for the company. I was like the second employee or so. So that really, second engineer to be specific. So that really, paved the way for my career. So I started with the company. I'm still with the same company, but the company has grown significantly over the last 8 years that I've been with the company. Coincidentally, all the other startups that I interviewed with folded over the years, right? So yeah, that's how I, started with Adam Power. I did firmware engineering in the initial stages and did embedded systems engineering specifically. So got to work with the hardware, firmware, software side of things. That helped me utilize my multidisciplinary skill set to see something from scratch, build a product from scratch, see it go into production. So I was involved in the full life cycle for the product. So that's sort of the role that I do right now in a more abstracted layer, because we have grown significantly. We have functional departments. So I work right now as a senior systems engineer and a technical lead leading a cross-functional team of engineers, mechanical, firmware, electrical, software, and also I work with the product marketing to understand the requirements. And then I work with the cross-functional engineering teams to design and develop the product and take it to the market. So that's what I do right now at Adam Power.
When you started working, was it always the goal to become a manager of people? And if not, what made you decide that that was the something that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, leadership is something that I've always been interested in. And also I had the skills growing up. I had discovered that I've worked with a lot of different teams. I've led projects, whether it was in my undergraduate or graduate studies. And also during my part-time jobs, I, quickly got promoted to a team lead in the coffee shop that I worked at. And I was leading teams even back then. So I think that's something that I naturally like, and I like inspiring people, casting visions, rallying people towards that vision, leading them. So that's what, kind of made me go down the leadership path. And again, being part of the startup, it was a great opportunity as well. Although, I had different titles, but I got to work with multiple different people, even outside vendors, to lead them in projects and to deliver an outcome and an overall goal, right? So yeah, just my, skills and passions in leadership and, creating an impact in the surroundings made me go down the leadership path.
What's one thing about leading others that you didn't anticipate?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think one thing that I dealt with in the number of teams that I've led is the team dynamics, how that can vary from, one team to another. It's really important to understand the dynamics, get to know the culture, what makes a person tick, what is someone passionate? What is their interest? Connecting with them on a deeper level is very important that I didn't realize early on, because I thought, okay, this is a team that I worked with. That's how all teams are. You know, this is how my leadership style should be. So that's something that I learned very quickly. That's not the case. So I really believe in situational leadership, depending on the situation and the dynamics of the people, changing your leadership style, right? So it's not a one size fits all. So yeah, just the, you know, dynamics could vary widely from people to people, company to company, and situation to situation. So that's something that is still something I learned, right? It's a constant evolution as you work on multiple projects and different types of people.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's just everyone has a different idea of how they are, how they prefer to be led. And then if you're the leader
right.
people and you just think, well, I'm just going to do it my way, and you might butt heads with a bunch of people, and now
exactly.
Who wants to be led by you now?
Right.
Certainly don't want to be in that position. When it comes to,
right.
to speaking in front of people, Binesh, how does that developing that skill benefit you in managing others?
Yeah, so again, when I was an undergrad, I really enjoyed speaking in front of people. And it wasn't even, I think it even goes back to my early school days where I was asked to give like impromptu talks when I did something mischievous in the class. So I started really liking that, and I intentionally started doing mischiefs in class so I could get an opportunity to go and speak in front of the class. So it really went back to the school days that I really liked speaking in front of people, right? And I carried that to my undergraduate program as well, where I was sharing my ideas and thoughts. I was doing paper presentations in front of classes and also outside universities. And one thing that I really liked about that is not just, you know, standing in front of people and going outside your comfort zone, but also the ability to share your ideas and thoughts to a broader audience and get them inspired to your vision, right? So that, you know, that idea really helped me, you know, even my career, where it was pretty much a similar setting where I had to cast the vision of the company. I had to show the teams what the overall goal is and, you know, get them inspired to go and get committed to achieving that goal and vision, right? Again, I believe in both. You know, it's really important to have one-on-one conversations, individual connections, at the same time having a broader audience and being able to convey so you can make sure everyone is on the same page with what we are trying to achieve. So that's basically what I really liked, and what, you know, how it helped me speak in front of people is being able to share their thoughts and ideas and cast a vision so everyone is on the same page, so people are bought into that overarching goal of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately the goal of it. I mean, if you're talking and some people understand and other people don't, well, you
right.
If the people that don't understand, it's really important for them to understand, and man, you have some problems.
Yeah, it's really important to cast that overarching goal collectively and then follow up on an individual basis to make sure they understand what their concerns are, and having that next level of connection. So from an outside, you're all working as one team that's on a mission, right? That's the end goal. So
yeah, 100%.
That answers your question.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, Binesh, when I first started this podcast or this YouTube channel, it was all about the struggles that I had giving presentations in front of management back when I worked as an engineer, and I saw that the other engineers weren't all that much better at it. And one of the issues I think I had was every presentation I gave was kind of, there was no rhyme or reason to it. It was me basically just developing everything from scratch. And I realized that once I developed the process, it was so much easier to put presentations together so that it didn't take as much time and effort to do it. So I'm curious, do you have a process for putting your presentations together? And if so, what is it?
So I don't follow a strict process, but what I do is try to understand the audience that I'm presenting to first, what their backgrounds are and what their view of the world is, like what are they looking to get away from that presentation. So I try to tailor based on that. For example, if it's a deep technical team, my presentations will be very technical oriented versus if I'm giving a presentation to the business, then I got to cater towards that, right? I cannot go and talk technical mumbo jumbo that they don't understand, one, but also they don't care about that, but they're looking at the metrics and the business side of things. So I feel it's really important to understand the audience. So I, try to take some time doing that and then cater my presentations accordingly.
Yeah, and that's so important, and it's definitely not something that I took into account when I first started giving presentations. I had to give presentations in front of management. Most of them, if not all, were not technical, and many of them were decision makers though. So it was really important that they understood what I was
Right.
talking about. But those first two presentations were absolutely horrendous. And I knew they were bad because I was getting questions afterwards that I thought I had answered during the presentation. But because I didn't put things in a way that they could understand, I was using all that technical mumbo jumbo. Now I was getting all these
Right.
questions afterwards and thinking, well, that was a waste of time. And you would have thought I'd gotten like you have thought I'd gotten the hint after the first presentation. Because I had to do these on a monthly
Right.
basis, but I didn't. After the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one. It was like Groundhog's Day. Like the same thing was happening every time. It's just, when am I gonna get when am I gonna take the hint? But what ended up happening
Right.
is my project got canceled. So that was the
Oh,
wake-up call that I needed to think, you know, maybe this whole presenting thing is something I should get better at. So
right.
hopefully that is not the case for anyone else. Learn your lessons quickly or more sooner than I did, so your
Right.
projects don't get canceled. Don't be
Yeah,
like me.
that's good lesson to have. Yeah, definitely that's a struggle that us as technical people and engineers tend to have, right? We have our own view of things and we are so detail oriented and very technically involved that when we go in front of a set of people, we tend to go present from our view as opposed to taking a step back and understanding the audience and what their expectations are. And then tailor the presentation and your content accordingly.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. So when it comes to the presentations that you give, Banesh, do you ever get nervous before them? And if so, how do you deal with your nerves?
Yeah, that's a good question. And a lot of people actually think I'm an extrovert just because I get in front of people. I'm by nature a very introverted person. So I do have a lot of fear just standing in front of the audience, and it could be any audience, even if it's people who I know. I have that fear, but I also like overcoming my fears and going outside my comfort zone. So I take up every opportunity that I get. I don't shy away from that, although I do, get very nervous, right? So yeah, it's pretty common, I think, for engineers specifically. The way I try to overcome that and make sure that doesn't take the better of me is by preparing ahead of time, doing some rehearsals, making sure I understand the content and it's not something that I go in haphazardly and present because, first of all, the information is lacking, but second, I'm also anxious and nervous, and the two are a very dangerous combo, right? So I try to at least take that part out where I make sure I'm very well prepared. And I also try to think through what sort of questions I can expect. One thing I do like is asking people to ask questions during the presentation. So it's more interactive and it's not just one person talking to an audience, again, depending on the setting, but that's one format I really like. So I try to think through what sort of questions I can expect so I can be prepared as well, right? So yeah, these are a couple of ways I tackle the fear of speaking in front of people.
Man, I'm also an introvert, but I saw the benefit of getting up in front of people and speaking, especially in the workplace, because often
Right.
the people who do that are the ones who are visible in front of decision makers, And those are the people who tend to move up within organizations. I remember I had a
Absolutely.
conversation maybe a year ago with a woman who's a patent attorney, but before that, she was an engineer. And this is back in the 70s when she was an engineer. And she thought that by doing a good job by doing her job well, people would notice and that would make it so that she moves up within the organization. But then she realized that that wasn't the case. It was the people who were the talkers, really.
Right.
They're the ones who moved up within the organization. And she saw that as a bad thing. But I saw that as a very useful thing because when you think about it, if you are someone who's doing a good job, well, I mean, ideally, a lot of people at the company are doing a good job as well. So why would anyone notice you as opposed to those other people who are doing a good job? What are you doing to differentiate yourself from these people? And a lot of times with us technical people, a really good, a great way for us to do it is to talk. Because so many of us are kind of shy away from doing it. So when you're that one that
Right.
actually does it, then yeah, okay, you stand out. Maybe you could be the leader.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it hopefully whenever I talk to other people who are just starting out in their careers, I tell them the same thing. It's just you being technically proficient and good at your job, that's great. That's the baseline. I mean, you're supposed to do that. But when it comes to actually moving up within organizations, people need to see you, need to hear you. Do you need to be visible amongst the people who have the authority to move you up within organizations? And just don't think that they're paying
Right.
attention to you because there's a lot of people that work at the company. Why would they pay attention to you specifically?
Yeah, that's very true. Again, self-advocacy is very important. And also an analogy could be a company could be making the best product in the whole world, but if no one knows about the product, so without having that marketing side of things, you're not going to be able to get that product out in the world, right? People are not going to know it to buy it. So it's pretty similar. Again, people are very busy, like you mentioned, they have so many different things on their plate. It's hard to expect that, they would just come and notice what you're doing. So it's important to have that self-advocacy and make sure you're heard as well. So going outside the comfort zone and getting out in front of people is very important at workplace.
100%. And I really like your point about preparing as well. I have a friend, and he used to make fun of me over the fact that I would prepare my presentations pretty meticulously before I gave them, because a lot of times when he gave presentations, it was more off the cuff. But I noticed that it was very noticeable when you give an off the cuff a presentation as opposed to one that's prepared, because when you prepare, you can think about where everything needs to be. What do I need to say first? What do I need to say second? You can think of the logical sequence of what you want to talk about, as opposed to when you're speaking off the cuff, it just comes out as it comes out. And if you're a technical
Right.
person giving a presentation in front of non-technical people, well, you really want to take some time to figure out what's the best way to put this information together so that these people can understand, especially with their decision makers.
Yeah, that's very true. Especially if you think of that as an opportunity to create impact, you would approach the presentation differently, right? If you have just one opportunity to create an impact, what would that presentation be, right? Like what would you say first versus what sort of information are you going to convey during the presentation? What are things that you would intentionally take out of the presentation if you know, okay, this is one opportunity for me to make an impact in the company or wherever in the workplace is, right? So yeah, that's how I like to think of it, so that I don't finish the presentation then regret for not telling things that I should have, right? So it's really important to prepare ahead of time.
Yep, I fully agree. So for the people who are watching this conversation or listening to it, Banesh, and they want to get better at presenting or public speaking generally, what's one tip that you could give them to become more effective at it?
I think practice is really important. So instead of just waiting for really important and critical presentations for you to start practicing, I think it is important to just reach out for opportunities, right? It could be in places that where you volunteer. For example, I'm a part of IEEE, so I volunteer heavily for IEEE. I take up opportunities where I get to go present in front of an audience, whether it's technical or professional development or anything, any topic that aligns with what I volunteer. So yeah, just reaching out for opportunities and making use of them to practice ahead of time and also understand what your voice is, what your style of speaking is, and doing that self-discovery ahead of time is really important, and also continuously using opportunities so you're not leaving things to a very critical presentation that you have to go give to your CEO, and that's when you're doing the self-discovery. It's better to have that discovery done ahead of time so you know how to tailor your presentation and your approach when the time comes, right? So yeah,
Yeah.
just practice, reach out for opportunities.
I fully agree with you, Binesh. I mean, certainly for the people who are watching or listening to this conversation, thank you for doing so. But you can listen to all the podcasts, watch all the YouTube videos, read all the books. But if you actually don't go out there and get those reps and do it, then you won't get better. And I take your point of the practice to in more low pressure environments, so that by the time it's time to present to the CEO, then the self-discovery is done. You're not figuring things out then, because then you kind of need to be on point. So absolutely, I fully agree with that. So this has been a great conversation, Vinesh. Thank you so much for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you?
I can attach my LinkedIn link to the podcast so people can reach out via LinkedIn. I think that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. So I'm active on LinkedIn. I post stuff here and there about professional development. So if people are interested how to grow professionally, personally, just reach out to me. Always here to help. So thanks
Excellent.
for this opportunity. It was great talking to you, Neil.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, that marks the end of another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Banesh.
Thank you, Neil. Have a good day.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Or on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.